Right now, the United States has targeted individual sanctions in place for 9 sub-Saharan countries, Burundi, Central African Republic, Cote d'Ivoire, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Eritrea, Somalia, Sudan, South Sudan, and Zimbabwe. We also have arms export restrictions in place against most of these countries.
In opening the discussion on U.S. sanctions policy in sub-Sahara Africa at the U.S. Congress yesterday, Senator Jeff Flake, Republican Senator for Arizona, said he wanted to determine their effectiveness.
Today we aim to step back and explore the effectiveness of some of these efforts. We'll examine the recent track record of sanctions in Africa, when they've proven to be a useful tool in achieving our policy objectives, and under what circumstances they are falling flat or causing unintended consequences.
Responding to these questions, 4 experts on Africa, including Todd Moss, Chief Operating Officer and Senior Fellow for the Center for Global Development, who argue that in the case of Zimbabwe, the sanctions have not effectively met U.S. objectives, including the controversial ZIDERA, or Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Act, set in place in early 2000 under former U.S. President George Bush, but said the sanctions for Zimbabwe should be maintained.
In my view, lifting sanctions at this time will merely strengthen Robert Mugabe and the cabal around him by providing a major propaganda victory. The regime will claim that it has vanquished its imperialist oppressors, and it now has formal American endorsement.
Moss further disputed Zimbabwe's argument that the sanctions have hurt the country.
The lack of Zimbabwe's progress to date is not an indicator that sanctions per se have failed. Zimbabwe's decline continues primarily because of an entrenched, highly abusive regime combined with very unhelpful regional dynamics.
Honorable Princeton Lyman of the United States Institute of Peace and also senior advisor to the president cautioned against sanctions in all cases, saying often it is harder to lift them than impose them and that they're best used in combination with other strategies.
So the question is, how do you deal with countries like Sudan, like Zimbabwe and others, in which fundamental transformation is necessary to end the conflicts, but also to end the human rights violations? And I think it has to be a combination of a long-term strategy of engagement, perhaps sanctions layered, but linked to individual steps, and building the strong democratic capacities within the country. Because without those, even a change in regime doesn't necessarily produce the peace and democracy you want.
Another reality that Senator Flake, who recently visited Zimbabwe, wanted to know was the effectiveness of U.S. sanctions outside partners like the United Nations or the African Union. To this, Ambassador Lyman said, without support of key players, in the case of Zimbabwe, regional countries or the AU, any U.S. effort to push for UN or other sanctions are futile.
The rule of thumb that we have found is that when the Africans are unified on wanting UN sanctions, we can usually get them through. China and Russia won't say no if the Africans say this is what we want. But when the Africans are divided, the Chinese and the Russians say no.
Meantime, in looking ahead on Zimbabwe, with the uncertainty of President Mugabe's longevity in power, Moss says lifting sanctions on some promising members of the ZANU-PF party could help pave the way for a stronger Zimbabwe ahead.
We have lifted sanctions occasionally on actors that had them before when they have changed their behavior. And I think continuing to make those signals out there is very important for the United States, especially because there's such a high degree of uncertainty of where the international community stands on Zimbabwe.